God is good
all the time. Hallelujah. You know, while we were worshiping, I saw something in the spirit as we were praying in the spirit. And I saw the hand of the Lord come down like chop, cutting things in half. And he said, a house divided cannot stand. And he said, I am dividing this country so it cannot stand. Whoa. I am dividing this country so it can't stand. Why? Because it's got to collapse before it can be rebuilt. That's why we see so much division. Amen? There is the left, the right, and the unknown. And there's a lot of division. And a house divided cannot stand. So it can no longer stand on the way it used to stand. It's got to break down so new things can come. God is building a new house. Amen. Would you turn to the book of Matthew 16, please? Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter got divine revelation. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this revelation or rock or the anointing, I will build my church. On the what? On the anointing, he will build his church. Without the anointing, there's no church built. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want you to know gates are associated with doors. Gates are a door. Amen? And I will give you the keys of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is so prophetic, because he's saying, look at, there's the spiritual aspect of binding and loosening. Amen? Whatever you bind on earth, in other words, in the physical, whatever you speak is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the physical in the earth is loosed in heaven. Or vice versa. It doesn't matter. To loose is to unlock. Everyone say unlock. And to bind is to lock. So, to lock, there are areas where there are demonic forces that we're talking about. Amen. To bind and to loose individuals from them. But there's another area here because he explains something very powerful. He says, and the gates of hell, in other words, the doors of hell shall not prevail. And I've given you keys to unlock and to lock. So he's saying, I want you to lock the doors of hell and I want you to unlock the doors of heaven. These are called keys of destiny. They're called what? Keys of destiny. Amen. So what he wants us to do is to close the doors of deception and open the doors of destiny. So you have the keys to lock and to unlock. It brings us a whole nother arena of what he's talking about besides just the demonic realms. There are doors. These gateways are doors. Amen? Go to Matthew 7. There are doors of deception and doors of destiny. Amen? In verse 7, let's speak it. 7:7. Ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. Well, what are you going to knock on? Wood? No. You're going to knock on a door. Amen? Knock and it will be what? Open to you. But first, you've got to ask according to his will. Then you must seek direction. It will bring you to a door. Amen? But you have a key now to either lock it or unlock it, and it's our responsibility to discern whether that door is deception or destiny. Is everybody okay? This is so vitally important. Because people are unlocking doors of deception and don't even realize it. And it's pulling them off to what? Their destiny. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Go to verse 13. What's it say? Enter by what? The narrow gate. The narrow gate. What's the gate? A door. Do you see how this all flows together? For wide is the gate, or the door, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. Why? Because it's a door of what? Deception. And there are many who go in by it. Wow. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. See, many people want the easy way. So if it's easy, oh, they'll just unlock that door and go in. But it's a door of deception. And there are few who find it. Wow. There are few who what? Find it. Very powerful. The gate is a door. There's a door of life, of destiny, and there's a door of deception, which is death. We hold the keys. It's our responsibility to know what door we're opening and what door we're shutting. Or locking. Locking and unlocking. Amen? Especially right now, because knowing that the Bible says a house divided cannot stand, knowing that this country cannot stand, many people are going to begin to look for the easy way out. And they're going to begin to open the doors of what? Deception. And it'll lead them in deception. And mislead him in the full destiny. Amen. Mark 3, please. In verse 23. Jesus called to them, to himself, his disciples, and said to them in a parable. He said, how can Satan cast out Satan? Because he was casting out demons. And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder its good unless it first binds the strong man, then he will plunder his good. In other words, we must first bind the leader of that house or that room. In other words, he's the overseer of it. And dismantle his authority. So we bind the powers of darkness that are prevented. See, sometimes God is going to tell you, fight for that. Fight for that. I'm leading you to, I want you to fight for that. See, people get weary. And they're not fighting for something, which is God is saying, look at fight for that. What's he saying? Fight to get that door open. Fight to get that. Maybe your healing's in that room. Maybe your deliverance is in that room. Maybe there's something in that room that God is saying, listen. But I can tell you, every room that opens for destiny, there's a revelation in it. So we must bind the leader, the strong man. Amen. Of the room and dismantles authority, unlocking the door of destiny through prayer. You do it through what? Prayer. Then something comes out. It releases knowledge of your destiny, which is revelation knowledge. In that room, there'll be a release to you. But again, you have to remember, we're called. Amen. Called means what? Fight, battle. We have a purpose, which is destroy Satan's kingdom. And we have a destiny to fulfill, and that is to infiltrate the world system. That's our destiny, is infiltrate the world. Amen? But we are also predestined in certain things to be conformed to God's image and likeness. These things will happen the more you begin to unlock these doors where God's things are. Remember, he says he has hidden treasures for us. Amen? That's why he says build up treasures where? In heaven. But he has hidden treasures for us right here. When the Bible says seek, it means pray. Amen? Pray. The Word tells us that nothing can be done without prayer and supplication. In Romans 8:28, and we know that what? Is everybody there? All things what? Work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose, battling for his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Wow. We are predestined to be conformed, transformed into his image of character by going through doors of destiny. When we go through these doors, we are making exchange to a change. We're making a what? An exchange to what? Change. So every door that you open, you unlock. That's why a good prayer is, Lord, please open the doors that are you and shut the doors that are not. Why? Because he's going to lead you to that door. Some he's going to tell you to fight for. Sometimes it's just going to open. Amen? Predestined to conform, transform into his image of character by going through the doors of destiny, making exchanges, and changes will come, which is in the process that we're doing. So we're going through these doors for an exchange to change. Exchange to what? Change. Is everybody okay? Keys to destiny. One of the keys is also knowledge. We just talked about revelation knowledge. God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Amen? Now, you can't bind and loose without the anointing. The devil will laugh at you. Remember when Paul was taken before the sons of Sceva? Yeah. Sceva? Anyways. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were over there, and so they tried to cast out one of these demons out of these guys. And they said, we cast out the demon from you in the name of Paul's God. The demon laughed at him and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you. And they chased these dudes out of the building, stripped butt naked. Because the demon didn't take no garbage from someone that wasn't backed by the anointing. Amen. So you can go bind and loose all you want, but if the anointing ain't there, it ain't happening. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit. Amen? And one of the keys is submission, obedience. Amen? Because rebellion will open a wrong door of destiny. Obedience is better than sacrifice. John 10, verse 7. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep did not what? Hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? By deception. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How does Jesus do that? Truth. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but the hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Wow. He says, I am the door. One of the keys of destiny is to know his voice. Amen. You're not going to know his voice without being filled with the Spirit. Matthew 25. Verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, he was what? Delayed. Has he been delayed? Yes. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now virgins represents those who were washed by the blood. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, say no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. In other words, nobody can sell you oil. You must earn your own. Amen? How do you get oil? Worship. It's time. You know, those who worship out of their head don't get no oil. Because to them it's nothing but words. It's just songs. But when you worship out of the heart, you are singing to your Creator. You are singing to your Father. There, it's a heart meant. It's a meaningful. You mean it. You're not just singing to the wall or singing to the ear. You're actually singing to Him. And He knows it. But those who sing out of the head get no oil. Only those who sing out of the heart. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the what? The door was what? Shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So you knew they were Christians, right? But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Remember, Jesus looks for Jesus. Amen? And without being filled with the Spirit of God, the image is not there of Christ. The character of Christ is not there. Jesus is the head. We are the body. That's why we don't worship out of the head. We worship the head. Amen? Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The final door to the wedding No oil, no presence, no anointing, no key authority. Lost destiny. Many doors of deception that have been opened. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So you were chosen before the world was created. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoptions as his children, sons, and daughters, by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence or understanding, having made known to us the mystery of his will and desire according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. We are predestined as adopted children of Christ. In other words, you were given an identity. You were given a what? An identity. Remember, identity maintains destiny path. One of the things the enemy wants to do is bring you into a door of deception so your identity becomes compromised. Predestined is adopted children with an identity which maintains the path or the road of destiny. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says in verse 2, continue earnestly in what? Prayer. In what? Prayer. That's where people compromise prayer time. They get up and just do whatever, and they say a few things and whatever, but they're really not. It's not from the heart. It's from the mind. Being vigilant, which means what? Consistent. In it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open what? To us a door for the word. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech also be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Prayer, consistent. So open doors to speak the mysteries of Christ. What are those doors? Those are doors of what? Destiny. It releases revelation knowledge. Listen, revelation knowledge is in every door of destiny. Every door that's open, there's revelation knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8, therefore do not be what? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a what? Holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now think about that. Before what? Time began. Well, what's the first thing God created? Time. He didn't create the earth or anything. He created time first. Why? Because he had to set a time which he could put all creation in. Does everybody understand that? So if you look at the universe, right? The universe was created time. The universe, from one end to the other of the universe, is time. Does everybody get it? all the galaxies, everything. God, if you took eternity and put a square box in, you'd call it time. Why? Because Jesus is the beginning and the end of time. So he created time and put everything in it. Because he holds it all. Our peanut brain has a hard time with all this. That's too big. Yeah, it's big. He's a big daddy. Hallelujah. So he called us before he even started creating time. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, then, if there was a beginning, that means he had to create time first. Amen? Oh, happy days. That's revelation knowledge. Does everybody get it? How does that come? Opening the door of what? Destiny. It always advances you. But now, verse 10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So what's he say? Hold fast. Hold what? Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Jesus, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Assyria or Asia have turned away from me, and among whom also are Phlegius and Harmonius and whatever. Anyways. Bunch of these whatevers. Paul got betrayed. We have a holy what? Calling. Amen? We're to hold fast the path of destiny, opening the doors of destiny and shutting the doors of deception, so that we can get revelation knowledge from every door of destiny that opens to me and you. What does it do? It advances you. Now, I'm not talking, look, it advances you more into the Spirit. It advances you more into more knowledge of who he is. Revelation knowledge changes you. Why? Because it causes an exchange of deception for truth. It causes an exchange of your character for his character. I love it. Who holds the keys? We do. Can the keys be opened and locked and unlocked, used to unlock and lock without the anointing? No. Oh, glory. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, hello, not just speakers of the word or hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's an idiot. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, and continues, that word continue is so important, in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Why? Because he's, what is he working? The word. This is not in laboring. This is working the word. Amen. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his mouth or his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. We are to be doers of His word. That means obedient to His voice also. In Matthew chapter 6, 6:31. Therefore, do not what? Worry. Don't worry, be happy. There's that song, isn't there? I think it's a Jamaican song or something, or Bob Marley or something. Is it Bob Marley? Don't worry, be happy. He was stoned out of his mind all the time. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all things will be added to you. In other words, if you seek His kingdom, in other words, His laws, the way we're to live, and His righteousness, amen, He'll lead you to doors of destiny. Does everybody get this? And then all things will be what? Added to you. How are you gonna get, how things gonna get added to you? Are you gonna get added to you if you go to the door of deception? Or are you gonna get added to you if you go to the door of destiny? Amen. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the keys that there's multiple keys, but one of the keys that would assist me and you is knowing God's prophetic timeline. It's very important knowing God's prophetic timeline. Why? Because the enemy will try to deceive you, bringing you to a door of deception. And if you don't know God's prophetic timeline, now remember, the timeline is God's global prophetic timeline, national prophetic timeline, and personal prophetic timeline. So that's where you have that witness that it's something. See, before things even happen, you have a witness inside. God always tells, the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. There's a witness inside. And you're going to either negate it, push it down, because it doesn't cooperate with your desire, or you're going to accept it regardless of what. And when you begin to negate it and push it down, your heart becomes hard. And you can't be sensitive to the doors of destiny. You'll be more open to the door of deception. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's where conviction comes, when you get close to that door. If you miss that conviction, you open the door of deception, and it'll delay your destiny or mislead you from your destiny. Remember, the enemy doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny, and he wants you to compromise your identity. That's his job, and he does it very well. And the world doesn't get it. Many believers don't get it. Remember Paul, who was Saul first. What was he out doing? He was doing all kinds of things, thinking he was doing it for God. But he wasn't. Man, Paul opened a bunch of doors of deception. He wasn't fulfilling his destiny at all. God had to slap him off of a horse. Amen? Come on, man. He got slapped. He said, I had to do the same thing. I got slapped off a Harley. Hallelujah. But he was thinking he was doing everything. He was killing for God. Look how many the people are out there thinking they're killing for God. All these goofy religions that are killing for God. Hallelujah. Boy, they've opened up a lot of doors of deception, man. And they are not in God and the destiny God has predestined for them. Let's go to Matthew 28, and we'll close here. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb where Jesus was laid. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will find him. Behold, I have told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. Now again, there's something very powerful here, because this was Jesus' final door of destiny. Does everybody see this? Pathway to eternity. This is with the final door of destiny that Jesus had to remove. And it says here again, but the angel answered to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. He has been here." Again, what happened? The door rolled. In verse 2, let's go there. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. That was Jesus' final door of destiny. And he fulfilled what he came to do. Isn't destiny a part of fulfillment? Yes. And we want to reach that final door of destiny, so the pathway of eternity. Amen. Who holds the keys? We do. Can you lock and unlock without the anointing? No. So we must stay. What about obedience? Yes. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. So rebellion and disobedience will nullify. Amen. We want to keep those keys active, consistent. We want to stay steadfast no matter what. Don't fall into religiosity. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal your word and lead us to the doors of destiny for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.